Blog Talk Radio.
Oh,
All right.
We're going to learn today. All right, shalom, good evening. As we're on our stairway to heaven, we got Friday Bible Breakdowns with Von Abad. We'd like to welcome everybody to the show, whether you be here in Albuquerque, Mexico, or in one of our school affiliates in San Antonio, Texas, Houston, Texas, Norfolk, Virginia, or Rochester, New York. Again, welcome you out to the show. Our purpose is to teach the 12 tribes of the nation of Israel how important it is for us not to wake up, the truth of who we are as we patiently now await, or eagerly await is the word I should use, for the return of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Without further ado, I'm getting a little envious, a little jealous that more people tune in to Barnabas classes than they do my own classes. But, you know, I'm just saying maybe it's because that's just how the Spirit works. Well, without further ado, to a great teacher, a great friend, a great counselor, I now turn it over to my brother and my friend, my mentor, my partner, to the brother, Von Abad Ahmad. Von Abad.
I'm here. Maybe I love the introduction, but I feel the same about you. I wouldn't be here kicking if it wasn't for what we do together. You know what I'm saying? So I've always enjoyed. You know what I'm saying? And I love the fact that we push each other to improve in the areas, Masaba, that sometimes a man don't want to improve in, don't want to submit to, but we always, that constant reminder, and which I think that all of us should inspire to have somebody that constantly reminds you and push you to do the things that you ain't comfortable doing, the things that you would like to run from, because, Masaba, as we look and we see men, a lot of brothers believe that this truth is based around what's comfortable for them, and not realizing that the Father does not, it does not pick that way. Never wants to be read, and we figure out that this thing is about our comfort. And I'm starting to realize that that's a lot of what our issues are with Israel, is the fact that we're looking for the most, what we call wisdom, would be the simplest and the easiest way to get something done. You know what I'm saying? And we do a lot of, when it comes to the Father, we do a lot of, well, I don't, that doesn't make sense, or I don't understand. We do a lot of that, you know?
True.
And not realizing. Let me do this blog stop class, because her thing's loud. I don't want you to turn it down. I'm going to move. Let me move rooms. I need a school, Michelle.
No doubt.
I need a school, man. You know what I'm saying?
I agree with you that a lot of the worldly wisdom that people call wisdom now is only based around how they feel. That if it makes me feel good or it makes me feel comfortable, I'll say now that's wisdom or you know, as you come to Israel and find out who you are, it goes from wisdom to that's the Spirit. See, that's the Spirit. That's the Most High. Wisdom, knowledge, understanding. Wisdom, not understanding. To be submitted at times. Like, now that's wisdom.
Brother, it's only wisdom, not understanding, Michelle, because it seems easy to have men. Like, if it's simple to me, Father, I don't understand. If it's simple, well, why don't we just do it this way?
Child.
Father would be like, he'd be looking at us like, now I can understand why he told Ezra, he said, my thoughts, not your thoughts. Neither my way is your way, said the Lord. Like, if this is, when you think, it's only convenient for a man, and a lot of times as men, we don't think about the bigger picture. We don't think about the body. We don't think about the way we do things and how they affect other people, or how they affect not just other people, but the growth. And that's what we're going to, something's got to be our new direction. The growth. If it's about something growing, how does your actions affect the growth of what is being put together? Because a lot of times we'll make moves and that'll be the last thing that's considered. It's the growth of what is being built. And we don't realize that some of the times we are more destructive to the growth of things than we realize. But for the body to grow, it's always going to be uncomfortable for the individual. Always. Always uncomfortable for the individual because the body's growing and there's always sacrifices. And that's been Israel's demon for the longest time, is the fact that personally, I got to take a back seat to the body. Always. From a man's example to his dedication to his sacrifices, he's sacrificing looking for something to come back to him, but he doesn't realize the one thing, the reward that the Most High gives is that the body grows.
But can I say this? Just to give, please don't lose your point. But even like the physical body, right? For a person who's a bodybuilder or into weightlifting, your body doesn't grow unless you tear it down. In order for the body to grow, there has to be squats, if it's sprints, you're not going to grow until you tear the body down. It's funny how if it comes to something like that physically, that can be understood. If I'm going to work out, I got to hurt while I'm working out. But the understanding is I got to go through this hurt or this sacrifice in order to grow. But somehow we get in Israel, and like you're saying, just to add to the point, it's this thought process that unless it's easy, I'm not growing. That somehow the thought process is I'm going to grow if it's easy. But that's not even in nature. In nature, unless you go through some sacrificing and go through some tear down, you can't grow. And it's like we in Israel, we refuse to accept that. I don't see nothing but you were saying.
Brother, and we get down to it, what you're saying is perfect, right? You know, because that is the part of the truth that we don't want to accept, the breakdown process. Like the scripture says, the sacrifices of the Most High is a broken spirit.
God.
Brother, the Most High looking to see, are you going to bend to his will? But the problem is a lot of it, we are saying we're bending, but it ain't until somebody starts going to the book or going into the Bible or just flat out telling me to do that, do this. Now, I don't want to bend to that because I don't see the wisdom in it. And then we go to doing the justification game because we try to find a scripture that kind of goes with our thinking. You know what I'm saying? All together, I'm doing this over here. So because I'm doing this over here, like I'm working on this over here, that negates me for any duty that I'm supposed to be doing. Or even the brother, even to me see another brother. I can see another brother doing something, and all of a sudden now I'm trying to pattern kind of what he was doing. Like if I say, you know what, man, shoot, and this is my, these are my true sayings, Mashallah. What I'm going to give you was my true sayings. When I was told to go down, when I was told, like Jonah, to go down to Miami and help the brothers down in Miami. Now, if you can take your mind back to me in Miami, Mashallah, there were a few trips that I made back and forth to Miami.
God, I do remember, God.
And the reason there was a few trips, because the first time I went down there, brother, I'm at the beach, I'm doing everything, but I didn't want to have to submit to the system that was going on in Miami at the time. I was sitting down there to go to the mall. I was sitting down there to go to get the business started. But you was street speaking.
But I came
completely unprepared. But the reason I came unprepared, because that, in my mind, that's not what I was sitting down there to do. You see what I'm saying? I wouldn't sit down there to do
it. Right.
And then one of the reasons I didn't get prepared is because I was mad that Cole Cops sent me to go out to Miami to help out. Because in my mind, I'm saying, well, shoot, why you didn't go? I got a whole camp there. Why you don't go? But all that back and forth that I was doing wasn't because of the spirit. It was because of my rebellion. Because if I would have just broken myself and just submitted to what I was told to go do, and then so I was submitting to the system that was there. There was so much that I was going to learn. Because the first time I went, and I'm not going to push the story on too longer, but the first time I went, sir, I went contending, right? But the second time I came down there, I was able to see something beautiful. You see what I'm saying? I saw something that amazed. I saw the spirit work. I saw the teaching and people getting touched. I saw a brother's house come together. I saw a standing room only of brothers and sisters in there. From flea markets to this business started taking off. And if the first time I went, if I would have humbled down to Cold Cop and just went, I would have saw it sooner. You know what I'm saying? And the first time I went and I called you, I said, hey, man, Mashaba, I'm getting ready to come to Miami. What do I need to bring? I would have seen so much, so many things in the spirit that were beautiful if I would have went in the spirit of being open to just give myself to it. I know the fact that the point I'm making is a lot of men neglect to see the beauty in the spirit and what the Most High is doing, because the spirit is not something that we dictate. It's up to the Most High have there for you that you're going to see. You don't dictate what the spirit is or what wisdom is. Hell, wisdom is learned. It's experienced. You don't gain wisdom until you experience something. And you don't see the spirit of something until you finally go. You have to let the spirit show you. Remember, the scriptures tell you that wisdom will meet you at every corner, at every turn.
God.
If this is something that's supposed to meet me, how can I know what's supposed to meet me? Ahmad, are you on the phone?
Yes, sir. Sure.
Find that scripture. It said
wisdom will meet you at every thought.
There you go.
I believe there that's Wisdom of Solomon 7.
I just want you to read it and I'm going on this one because the only way that a wisdom can meet a man, he has to break himself. You can't predict what the wisdom is going to be. You can't predict what the Most High is going to show you. And a lot of we're holding back our opportunities for wisdom to meet us because of things that roads I just won't walk down. Already in my mind, the Most High got me in a place that wisdom gets to meet me at every thought. But you know what I'm doing? I'm ready to run and leave from that opportunity for wisdom to meet me because I think that I have a better way of growing, or I have a better way of wisdom meeting me. But the Most High doesn't work like that. Read that real quick, God.
And it's Wisdom of Solomon, chapter 6, verse 16. Oh, wow. Now it's not going to work for me.
Go ahead.
What are you talking about?
Chapter 6, verse 16. For she goeth
there with me.
Such as are worthy of her. Sheweth herself.
Hold on a second, baby. Hold up. Now, wherever you at, Anothan, I need you to move closer to the mic and read louder.
Wisdom of Solomon 6:16. For she shall go herself favorably.
Do it again. Read it again.
Wisdom of Solomon chapter 6 verse 16. For she goeth about seeking such as are worthy of her.
Wow. Read.
Showeth herself favorably unto them in the way and meeteth them in every thought.
Hold on, so she shows herself, brother, she shows herself in the way, meaning on that path, right? So while you walk in your path and you're going down the road that the Most High have you on, that's where wisdom's going to meet you at. But the whole time that I'm refusing to walk a path or to continue on a road, the one thing I'm not allowing myself to have wisdom meet me. And we think that we can control the path. Like the Most High was wrong when he had me on this path. I can say, man, many times I can say, Howard, I don't see the wisdom in what you got me going through. You're right. You can't see the wisdom of what I got you going through. But if you go down the path, guess what's going to happen? I'll have wisdom meet you. I'll have a spirit of understanding meet you down this path. Read on.
For the very true beginning of her is the desire of discipline.
But I have, you know this, I can't be changing. I got a desire to be in order. I have to have the desire to be controlled, to let myself to submit to some self-control. Because that's what, ain't that what discipline is? What is discipline? That's the question.
Give me one, I'm looking it up.
Thank you, Masaba.
I have a quick definition.
Go ahead.
You want me to just put it in there? Maybe Mashaba can put his in there as well.
Read. What is it?
The practice of training people or training one to obey rules or a code of behavior.
Yeah. Hold on. What is discipline?
Practice of training people to obey rules or a code of behavior.
Wow, that's strong. So what is the Most High waiting? If wisdom is going to meet us, if I'm going to now be blessed with wisdom, what is the Most High waiting for us to favor?
Waiting for us to favor?
Read it again, Nathan, that last part.
Wisdom of Solomon chapter 6, verse 17. For the very true beginning of her is the desire of discipline.
So the only time you know a man, the only way that you know a man is really rolling in wisdom up, or he wants to grow in wisdom, he wants to now be told what to do. That man wants to have, he desires discipline. I want to be controlled. If I'm not trying to be controlled, it's truly because I don't desire wisdom. I want to do what I want to do. Right. I don't want the Most High's wisdom. Because this is the Most High saying, this is how you get my wisdom. You got to like being told what to do.
But you know, the wisdom of the world says, the wisdom of the world says, be your own man. I was going to say, the wisdom of the world says, be your own man. Don't let nobody tell you what to do. Be your own leader. Have your own mind. That's what the world teaches people to do, which is 180 degrees opposite of the Most High. So we come into this truth. I'm my own man. I have my own thoughts. I'm going to walk to the beat of my own drum. You put your pants on one leg at a time like I do. So I don't let you tell me what you do. I don't want you to think you're over me. I don't want you to think that you're greater than me. So I got to make sure I come up with my own way, because that's me being a man. But hey, bro, I just want to bring that up.
Brothers, no, you know, it's so powerful, Art, because we get down to the, we look and say, man, we disguise it now. I got to do what's best for me. I got to do what's best for my family. I got to, AB, you have had talks. I know I was carnal, because a lot of times I would say that same thing, Mashaba, bro, I got to do what's best for my family. Shava, I got to do what's best. I got to do what's best for me right now. I get up every morning because I'm trying to do what's best for me. I got to do what's best for my family. But the Most I like, you know what? Well, fine. Then you're looking for this world's wisdom. You're not looking for my wisdom. You ain't even looking for my help. You're looking for this world's help, because that wisdom does not exist. It don't exist. Not in the Bible. That has nothing to do with the Father. This
you know,
is about us learning to submit to Him. Go ahead, sir.
But one thing since I've been around you all this time is that we always show, we ain't really put the full class together, but we started. All the great leaders in Israel, all the great men in Israel, allowed themselves to be disciplined, allowed themselves to be trained. We see all the wicked leaders, all the ones that were evil in the eyes of the Most High, refused to submit to the training.
Yeah.
It was all about coming with things on their own. And that's a very good thing.
I like the point you made about the great men, because it really is what we're running from. And we just talked about this earlier today. That's the tripped out thing. We kept talking about a lot of when in certain classes, certain things being shown, it go over men's heads. You know what I'm saying? But because a lot of men aren't looking for that greater wisdom, because to get the greater wisdom, it requires greater discipline. And now discipline takes a whole new meaning. Because we think because I don't eat chicken, I'm being disciplined. Because I get up every day at 5 in the morning and I stretch and work out. That's a part of me being disciplined. Because I get up and I keep my routine and I don't just eat anything. I'm disciplined. That ain't the discipline the Most I was talking about. Men that were in the Bible that were that disciplined, they were obedient to the Father. They didn't do what they wanted to do. They were disciplined in His eyes. I mean, they were obedient to Him. They followed the Spirit. They didn't always have to understand. They didn't always have to understand, and they didn't know what was going to meet them down the path that they were going down.
And again, that Spirit, and following the Spirit, following the Most High, was submitted to the training of the chain of command that the Most High had established. Yeah. That's Romans 13 and 1. Obey the man that rules over you. Submit yourself to Him. But everybody does have that in their mind. I'm not following man. I'm following the Spirit. I'm not following man. I'm following the Most High. But how did the Most High work? The only men we hear about the Most High speaking to was Moses and Yahweh Shai. But everybody's got this thing on their mind now, I'm following the Most High. And you can ask that man, okay, so what scripture are you following? I don't know. I'm just following the spirit.
God. You'd be like, well, what spirit are you following? Because we should be able to read about that spirit that you're following. The words that I'm speaking, they're supposed to be spirit, and they're supposed to be life. So I like what you make it, what it is. We've gotten good at wordplay out. I had a brother that, I don't say no names, I had a brother that called me a couple of days ago, called me yelling at me. But we talked about the Bible, and he said, I brought the Bible, and he said, I don't follow fairy tales. But he didn't follow fairy tales, and the Bible's a fairy tale. He was angry. He told me, man, I'm not here. I'm not trying to hear about your black Jesus. And he didn't follow fairy tales. I was like, wow, okay. But then as we're talking, he's using scriptures. So I'm like, well, I'm confused. Why quote the Bible if you believe it's fairy tales? And I really thought, the reason the brother threw his fairy tales, because you know what? Every time it was time for that man to walk a path and the spirit of wisdom was supposed to meet him, he didn't like being told what to do. He didn't like being told what to do. I didn't want nobody to control me. But if I read Proverbs, I'll read this one scripture. It's Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 2. Proverbs 18 and verse 2.
Proverbs chapter 18, verse 2. A fool hath no delight in understanding.
Read that again.
A fool hath no delight in understanding.
Go ahead.
But that his heart may discover itself.
So only a fool wants to get out here and experience things. The Most High God man is trying to experience and you know, just trying to learn it himself and figure it out. The Most High God that man a fool. He said, that dude's a fool, man. Only a fool would have no delight in understanding. That means you gave me the answer. You taught me. You showed me. But as fools, this is what makes us happy, is that, you know what, I was able to go out here and discover things. So I can be able to say, I did it on my own. I figured this out. No one helped me.
You know, if I can say this, even great men in the world, let's use the world for example. Kobe Bryant was great because Michael Jordan was great because he followed Dr. J.
God, brother.
Dr. J followed Will Chamberlain. The men who, even in that world, you became great because you followed, you patterned yourself after somebody.
Yep.
But now let it speak this thing now in Israel. I got to just walk to my own beat. And for that scripture, can you read the scripture for time, please?
Proverbs chapter 18, verse 2. A fool hath no delight in understanding, but that his heart may discover itself.
I just want to do something on my own. As long as I figure on my own, that's why I have a delight. But that's not the type of man the Most High is working with.
Not at all.
That's not the type of man the Most High is going to have wisdom, meet him in every thought.
Son.
Because that man is fleeing from what the Most High is going to put him through.
Yep.
And the training. Mike, can you read that definition one more time, please, of a discipline?
It's the practice of training people to obey rules or a code of behavior using punishment.
To obey rules or a code of behavior
or a code of behavior?
I don't want to have to obey rules or a code of behavior. I want to be able to do it and discover it on my own, at my own pace, at my own discretion. And what do I get when I read this scripture? What do I get when I go down this, when I'm doing this? And I want to have that freedom, that liberty to do it my way. Don't tell me what to do. Don't tell me how to do it. Let me be a man and discover it on my own. Like the Bible says, you're a fool. I'm a fool.
Brother, hey, to add to that one, Rashad, we just disciplined. Was it Solomon 1:5? The Apocrypha?
God.
And I'm not trying to put a discipline class together, but you're right. Because we don't look at discipline as the point of doing, allowing somebody to tell me what to do, to guide me, to train me. We do not look at that as discipline, because it's not the example of discipline that we know. Our example of discipline, like a runner, you say that's a disciplined runner because he focuses on his breathing. He, matter of fact, somebody taught him how to breathe, so he's focused on his breathing. He's focused on his rhythm to everything else. So it tells you, you got to have discipline. You got to be disciplined. Boston, you got to be disciplined.
Could you please start at verse 4? I'm going to shut up.
Come on. Wisdom of Solomon, chapter 1 and verse 4.
Wisdom of Solomon, chapter 1, verse 4. For into a malicious soul, wisdom shall not enter, nor dwell in the body. Nor dwell in the body that is subject unto sin.
But you all love what you got? There's a whole new outlook on sin. That sin is transgression of the law. We know that. How many times are we sinning because I'm trying to do what I want to do rather than do what I'm told to do? I couldn't see that as sin because as a man that got the Bible to put his pants on, Mashaba brothers, like you put your pants on, I should be able to do what it is I want to do because I put my pants on the same way you put your pants on. I know the Bible. I got scriptures like you got scriptures. That alone, I'm in my 40s and 50s like you in your 40s and 50s. But we'll never see that the reason why a lot of answers don't be there for me is because I am subject to sin. I won't listen. So if I don't listen, I'm only subject to sin. I can't be told what to do. I don't want to humble myself to this situation. So I am subject to make mistakes. For unto
like,
a malicious soul. Go ahead.
I know where a person's mind goes with this, right? Sin is breaking God's law. Let's go there just for a second. So if we know that eating pork is a sin, why will a person with a malicious spirit be subject to eating pork? Because that's what they want to do.
Right.
They don't want to be controlled by the law to control their lust, to control their hunger, to control their craving. They want to just follow their craving or their will or their thoughts when it comes to the law saying don't eat pork. Point being, they're following their own mind. They're following their own cravings. They're following what they want to do. So when it says here, into a malicious spirit, and by looking at the word malicious,
harboring ill will or enmity without provocation. I'm already mad that I have to submit to somebody else. I don't want to submit to somebody else. I want to do it my way. And then understand it. That is the beginning of sin. Because
right.
you don't
right.
want to be, you don't want to be trained. You want to
yep.
do it your own damn way. And
that I love it because that person
is hard.
There you go, Rashad, because I was going to add what you're saying, too. That's how a body is subject to sin. It's a way of saying you're bound to make mistakes. You're bound to make the mistake. You're bound to fail because you're making yourself subject to that. You're walking down that path to only make mistakes and fail because can't nobody tell you anything. You can't be guided. You can't be guided. But you're choosing not to be guided. Because that verse 5, for the Holy Spirit of discipline. That means to be told what to do is a righteous thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
For the Holy Spirit of discipline will flee deceit and remove from thoughts that are without understanding and will not abide when unrighteousness comes in. If I ain't got no discipline, and I can't be told what to do, and I'm running from that, I'm running from the spirit of the Most High is not dwelling in that man. The spirit of understanding will never come to that man because that man has to possess the ability to be guided, directed, or simply just told what to do. But look how many men wisdom is escaping because they're choosing not to let anyone tell them what to do.
Kai.
Was that in that verse?
Yeah, that was it.
Real quick.
Let's go back to Psalm 6, verse 16 to 17. That's where we're at before we jump.
Don't read that.
Wisdom of Solomon, chapter 6, verse
16.
Where she goes about seeking showeth herself favorably unto them in the ways and meeteth them in every thought.
So we understand, this is getting back to, read on.
For the very true beginning of her is the desire of discipline. And the is love.
Go ahead. So the Most High is trying to show us, the Most High is trying to show us one thing. The thing that we're running from is being told what to do. But that is what the Most High looks at as a broken spirit. To be broken, you have to now be able to be guided. You're putting your will, your desire, your choices second. Matter of fact, you don't have one. I'm guided. That means I waited for someone to instruct me. But we don't realize that a broken spirit, that person that can be instructed, that is a blessing to the Father. The Most High is not sitting here honoring men that think they're men because they kind of did their own thing. I'm Proverbs 18, right? I'm a fool because I wanted to experience things myself. How would the Most High call that? Ain't that like we used to read back in the day, the 5 percenters, we are gods?
Okay.
their whole philosophy was, we're supposed to go out here and just live life and experience because we're gods. Something to that nature.
Yeah, Sean, that was
we don't live with law. We don't live under a law. We don't live with order. We don't live with discipline. We don't live with those things. Because I'm not going to allow what part that makes me a God is I get to do what I want to do. I get to do what I feel is the right move for me. And the Most High calls that man a fool. Calls him a fool. Go to Proverbs 34 real quick in verse 18.
Proverbs 34 and 18.
Read that real quick, you guys.
Proverbs 31 and 18, correct?
No, I think it's 34.
There's no 34 in Proverbs.
Psalms? Yeah, I'm sorry. 31. No, you got it.
Proverbs 31 and 18.
No, I'm sorry, Psalms. I'm sorry. It's Psalms.
It is Psalms. Got it. Psalms chapter 34, verse 18. It says, it reads, the Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as to be of a contrite spirit.
He saveth such that seem to be what?
A broken heart, saveth such as to be of a contrite spirit.
What does it mean to have a contrite spirit, though? Wait. Let's go back. Well, we don't go there. I'm not even going to a definition thing because we're going off one thing. I have to have my mind broken. The Most High draws closer to me because my mind is broken. I have a broken mind. Not broken mind as far as, huh?
When we say that, if we can define that just a little bit, a broken heart is a broken mind. But
right.
A broken mind is the way I think, the way I put things together, is to have a broken heart. Not to
right.
See where a woman like me, now I'm in a fetal position, sucking my thumb, crying like a little baby.
Mm-mm.
Having a broken heart is I break the way I think. I break the way my mind works to allow myself to be trained. To allow myself to learn how to think. I just want to put it out there, bro. I just want to put it out
there. You're hitting it the right way because if I would have left it like that, Mashaba, the Most High is not with me when I'm broken. But that's what people be thinking. Because the Most High is not to a broken spirit because what I went through in my life and what I've done, now the Most High is with me. You know what I'm saying? From everything that I've gone through, see, the Most High must be with me. The Most High like, nah, because you still are willful. So when somebody tell you what to do, you can look at a person and say, everything you're going through and struggling, and then when somebody tell you what to do, guess what you still do? Fight. Still argue. Still opinionated. For everything that your life has taken you, the Most High, like, I know you're not broken yet. You ain't had enough because you still fight. You're still opinionated. You're still coming up with another. The Most High looking at us like, you coming up with another plan? No, did like I said, I talked to another brother today. And I heard another $1 million plan. And you know, being with me, we hear a lot of $1 million plans. We hear a lot of $1 million plans. None of them is including the Father, or it's anything that makes it easier on me. That's where the wisdom is. Anything that benefits me, that's where the wisdom is. So as you're talking, you're like saying, bro, hold on. We got to do this for the body. We got to do this for the Most High. No, man. That's not the plan. I'm going to tell you the plan. I'm going to give you the plan. I just shut up from now on, all right? I learned to shut up because I already know now, okay, this ain't going nowhere. He ain't ready. He ain't broken. He ain't ready to submit. He ain't ready. Let me say this out. It's a man that's not ready to do it the Father's way. And he goes about to justify what he's doing like the Most High is honoring him. You got to ask yourself this, like I like the point you said earlier. When you hear brother say something, what scripture are you following? The question I'll be asking, when you watch men's moves, who told you to do that? Because that's what the Spirit is asking. If you truly have a broken spirit, who told you to do that? Because I'm cutting myself, because a lot of my moves, I have to say, no one told me to do that. I took it on myself to do that. At the time, it seemed like a good idea, and that's why I did it. But at the time, it seemed like a good idea to me. And hell, my woman agreed. Other brothers I've talked to, they agreed. So I went on and did it. Because at the time, it sounded like a good idea. Ain't nothing broken in me. Because I'm still doing the same thing. I make my moves based on what feels good to me or what I feel would benefit me. So read that again.
Psalms chapter 34, verse 18. It reads, the Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit.
Uh-huh.
That's not talking about Bruno Mars. It's not talking about some country singers. It's not talking about Sweat, that broken heart. Again, it's talking about who's allowing their mind and their thinking to be broken.
Right.
That you're about to jump in front of a train for you. It's not any blues singer or country singer. It's got a bigger black. He got the biggest black cowboy hat he can find. So he can show how mournful, how sorrowful he is. The broken heart is you break the way you think. I just want to throw that out there again for edification.
Read 19 now.
Verse 19. Many are the afflictions of the righteous.
Read it again.
Yeah.
Many are the afflictions of the righteous.
That's how you know you do it right. He says, but you're going to be going through a lot of things that are going to be uncomfortable. And like you said, Michelle, it's going to prove. This ain't about finding somebody that's toe up and broke down, and all of a sudden now we're going to jump in front of trains and all this shit. Like these crazy people out here are singing. That's not how the Most High know that you have a broken spirit. He know that by who you wait on. He said many are the afflictions of the unrighteous, of the righteous, right? Of the righteous. Read.
Okay. But the Lord delivereth him out of them all.
Brother, but that's how you don't have a broken spirit. Because in everything you're going through, who are you waiting to deliver you?
The Most High.
You didn't have to. The Most High looking at it, I didn't need you to come up with a backup plan. I don't need your help. And I don't need Bruno Mars jumping out of a plane for you.
And you
I already got it covered.
I'm so glad the Spirit had this scripture come out. Because a person might think, because I'm going through afflictions, or there's afflictions happening, that's why the Most High is not with me. See? Here goes another accident. See? Here goes another affliction. See? Here goes another truck breaking down. That must be, this ain't how the Most High wants things done. Especially since the way we're doing this is an inconvenience to me. So this proves, in my worldly logic, that this was never the right move. But
right.
This scripture here is saying, many are the afflictions of the righteous, and that the Lord delivers him out of them all. Not his own plan.
Nope.
Not his own wisdom or backup plan, like you said. Let me fall back on my training, and you know what? I will have the wisdom of how to get out of this situation. Wisdom will make me in this thought, because I can fall back on my training.
Yep. You know that, Michelle, because the training would be the Most High got me. We've been here before, and the Most High has always come through. We've been here before, and the Most High has always come through. Not, well, you know, we gotta do something different. We gotta do something different. The Most High, like, no, you gotta do it differently. This is the arena that I deliver you. If you ain't going through nothing, what is the purpose of me now coming to deliver you if you're not going through anything? Verse 20 says, he keepeth all his bones. Not one of them is broken. So if we understand what a broken heart is, a broken spirit is, it's a man that has come in subjection to the Most High's will. I put myself in the hands of the Father. I'm going to go through the affliction, Mashallah, because I understand that in the affliction is where the Most High preserves me, where the Most High protects me, where the Most High is there for me.
Yep. A lot of people have not submitted to that part of the training. Because when it got difficult, it got hard. Because remember, 2 Timothy 2 and 3 says, he that warreth and taketh himself not to put the affairs of his life, that he may please him that chosen to be a soldier. It talks about being able to endure hardness as a good soldier for Yahweh Shai. That if I allow myself to be trained, the training is going to show me how to get through the hardness. It's going to show me how to get through the afflictions. But a lot of people quit right at the time it was going to be the training to how to get through an affliction. For example, I'm going to speak for you. You seen Kawakai lose Asheriah.
Yep.
A woman he truly cared about, he truly loved. But you was able to see his example. That when Asheriah left, he kept going on with the work. He went on to Guatemala.
Yep.
And the Most High gave him, what, 3-4 more wives and 8 more children?
Yeah, man.
But you was able to see him go through losing a wife that he loved. And Kawakawa didn't turn to the bottle. Kawakawa didn't turn to to whoremongering.
Drugs.
Kawakawa didn't just shrink up in a ball of depression and cried every night on his bed, sucking his thumb. You saw the example of Kawakawa. We got to keep working. You came back and did the same thing for all the ribs that left you. You just kept working.
Yep.
You put your head in the sand. And then, like we're saying, you thought more about what the body was going through instead of what you was going through. Because, we just bought a camp from Miami to San Antonio.
Yep.
So we had all these families coming up. You had all the families from San Antonio that were still there. They couldn't stand to see you weak. They couldn't stand to see that they had to see somebody going through losing a woman that he loved.
Right.
You submitted to the training. So now when them thoughts hit you, you had wisdom meet you at every thought. Do I chase her? Do I kill myself? Do I run my car off a fucking bridge because I'm so heartbroken? No, because the training you submitted to gave you the answers how to get through that.
That's what left me.
I saw how you and the war went through what y'all went through. From a cop, all right, cool. That's the wisdom. That's how you do it. It wasn't, I'm going to listen to a bunch of Keith Sweat. I'm going to listen to a bunch of Bruno Mars, whoever. No. We got to keep going. And the Most High is going to bring something else. Yes, for me, it was Yahshua. Right. For you, it was quite a sight. You kept working and kept your faith and trust in what the Most High took you through. But a lot of men, because they don't submit to the training, when these things hit them, they have no idea what to do.
Nope.
They're not broken away, most I was talking about. Uh-uh. They have no hope. It's about just giving up on life. And now I'm going to do anything I can to get this woman back, to keep this woman on my side. Forget the scripture that says, and that day, seven women should take hold of one man.
Right.
Now, forget that. She walked out of my life, and my life is not over. I can't make it. I can't do anything. Because you never submitted to the training, so when you got hit with this thing, you would know what to do. While somebody's trying to prepare you for what you're going to face. We want to still follow our own wills. We want to follow our way of putting things together. We will make things easy for ourselves. Program that the most of us going to have us still walk down. You're still going to have afflictions. But are you going into these afflictions with the training of how to get through these afflictions? Or are you still trying to figure it out on your own?
Brother, we're not realizing, Rashad, but this is the time of love for the Father, but we don't want to be loved. This, what I'm saying by that is, this that time where the most times, like, okay, I'm here trying to save you. I'm trying to get you. I'm trying to bring you up out of the things that you're going through. I'm trying to make life better, but you don't want it to be better. I'm going to read this, Psalms chapter 147 and verse 2. It says, the Lord, Psalms chapter 147 and verse 2 through 5.
You want somebody to read it for you?
Go ahead.
Okay, Psalms chapter 147 verses 2 through 5, correct?
Yep.
Okay, verse 2, the Lord doth build up Jerusalem.
Stop there. Just with that. The subject matter is the Most High is trying to build up us. The Most High, he's building us. So when you look at that growth and what you're doing, the Most High, from what you're going through, the Most High is building you. But not just by just the affliction, but the fact that I'm bringing you the other side. I'm healing. But this is a building process that the Most High is doing. Read on.
He gathereth together the outcasts of Israel.
Read.
Verse 3, he healeth the broken in heart.
He said he healeth the broken. And that means the things that you go through or you're supposed to go through so that the Most High can heal you. You're not looking for you to change. I don't heal you when you get out of it. The fact is you're in this, is when the Most High goes to working on healing you. Read.
And bindeth up their wounds.
Read.
Verse 4. He telleth the number of the stars. He calleth them all by their names.
Go ahead.
Verse 5. Great is our power, and of great power. His understanding is infinite.
Go ahead, read on.
Verse 6. The Most High lifteth up the meek. He casteth the weak. He lifteth up the meek.
Read on.
He casteth the wicked down to the ground.
But it, you know, hey, hold on up. That six is confusing. Because I'm sitting here trying not, if I'm a man, I'm trying not to be weak. I'm not trying to be meek. I'm not trying to throw my hands up and say, you know, Father, you obviously know what you're doing. So let me just submit to my situation so that you cannot give me the answers that I need. We keep taking every thought we say, well, we use it wisdom. That's how we got this going. Are we starting this? You know, all we keep doing, Ock, is starting over. And it's starting over. And it's starting over. We watch men that's around us today supposedly walking in wisdom. And the only thing that you keep seeing these men do is what? Start over.
From the ground.
This business didn't work. Start over. This relationship didn't work. Start over.
From the ground.
Yeah. Brother, what you working on, man? I'm working on a new business plan out. But I got the idea. I'm working on a new relationship, man. We keep starting over. You know, the one thing the Most High want, we won't give. We won't just put our life in his hands.
The Lord lifts up the meek.
A broken spirit is that man. God.
Again, this meek person, not the Bruno Mars, not the silent cowboy who carries a big stick and doesn't talk loud. The meek is that person who patiently submitted to his training and the guidance in his youth. He submitted to it. So when he's hit with his affliction, he has something to fall back on. It's not a problem getting back or doing whatever.
Yeah.
He's just, we can speak for ourselves on this, and not bragging. As we've tried new adventures and they didn't work, we've always gone back to, okay, cool. Let's go back to our original training. And where do we fall off from our original training? And now let's go back to the there and figure from there. And the Most High always blesses it. We go back to our training. You see where men have not allowed themselves to be trained. They want to imitate what they saw being done, but they never submitted to the training. So again, when the afflictions come, whenever the apostles came into a situation, what did the apostles do? They remember what Christ did. They said, oh, remember when Christ told us this? I remember when Christ was going through this, this is what he did. There's not one situation that the apostles went through that Christ didn't already go through first. They just followed the pattern. They just followed the pattern that he laid out so that there was nothing they couldn't handle as long as they remembered the training. If you've never been trained, how can you remember? How are you going to have the answers of what to do? You're not. And then, like I keep saying, as the scripture says here, you're going to keep starting over from the ground.
Come on, brother.
But we know here, they're thinking the wicked must be the people that bite the rats' heads off and drink blood. No, that's got to be talking about the people who the rock stars who sniff coke. No, that's got to be talking about these pork chop eating preachers. If I can give one scripture, it says the wicked, God is not at all in his thoughts. It sounds like 10. Psalms 10 and 4. And I'm going to give my chief advice.
God.
Read that, please. Psalms
chapter 10, verse 4. The wicked, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God. God is not with his thought.
So here, the Most High defines what it is to be wicked. We know that, yes, if you go in and drink bat blood, we know that's wicked. Why? Because you only think about yourself, you ain't think about the Most High. Yes, we know that those who have sex with the dogs are wicked because obviously the Most High is not in his thoughts. The point being, when the Most High has his way of doing things, is not in our thoughts. And how does the Most High do things? Through our training. He always sends somebody to train you so that you can fall back on the training. We don't want to submit to the training. So keep starting back on the ground and to start back all over again. But I'm back to you, Ryan. I just want to bring that up.
I'm going to read this. I love what you're putting out. Proverbs, James, chapter 5, verse 5. I'm going to read it. Go right with that point. It says, James 5 and 5 says, ye have lived in pleasure on the earth and been wanton. Ye have nourished your hearts as in the day of slaughter. That's the only thing we've been preparing for. I don't want to go through the misery or go through the tribulation. Or go through things so that the Most High can show these with me. What I've nourished my heart is, it's been about pleasures of the earth. I've been here looking for the easy way out of this side. But the biggest honor is to know that the Father's with you. That's the one thing that we've been in this truth trying to find out. Is the Father with us? But in the misery in the tribulation that we go through, the Father's trying to say, this is the arena that I show you that I'm with you. But the more you're looking for pleasure, you lose more of me. The more we look for pleasure, the more we turn ourselves further from the Father. Because we don't want to go through what we need to go through so that he is with me. Like I said, we have our minds to what we feel is important. And I know for me, I'll be honest with you, there are times I was like, man, I got to look out for my family, bro. I got to look out for my family. And I never realized that the tribulation that I was going through was the one thing that was bringing more of the blessings from my Father to me. I was bringing the Most High's blessing because of what I was going through.
Huh.
I didn't realize it. I didn't realize it, bro.
If I can read this one about
please.
If I can read this real quick. This is Hebrews chapter 13, verse 7. I'll read it myself. It says, remember them which have the rule over you, who has spoken unto you the word of the Most High, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Now, we know the scripture says, without faith, that's Hebrews 6 and 4, without faith, it is impossible to please the Most High. So a lot of people got in their minds, I'm going to just do it my way because I have faith. But Because scripture says here, whose faith follow. I shall follow my father and follow their faith. We just went over Joshua and Moses. Whose faith did Joshua follow? Moses. Elisha. Whose faith did Elisha follow? Elijah's. The disciples, the apostles. Whose faith did they follow? Yahushua. Timothy followed whose faith? Paul's.
Paul's.
Titus followed whose faith?
Paul's. Paul.
So here again, Hebrews 13 and 7, remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of the Most High. Because when were they giving the words of the Most High? As you was going through your afflictions. As you was going through whatever you was going through, they gave you the same scriptures they used when they was going through what you were going through.
Right.
So that you might have faith. So that your faith might be established. Not your faith established in you and your abilities and what you do and how you do it, but the faith of these men. What scriptures did they use to get themselves through what they were going through? Whose faith followed, considering the end of their conversation.
And
nice.
Anybody hear you? So you, the low talking? Nobody can hear you. By the way, I'm cool.
What happened?
No, just giving it back to you.
Oh, Proverbs. When they go to Tobit, real quick, y'all. Go to Tobit, chapter 4 and verse 5 and 6.
Tobit 4 and 5, verses 5 through 6. My son, be mindful of the Lord our power all thy days. And let not, Con, and let not thy will be set to sin.
It's on your will. It's talking about your mindset, your ways, right? He's don't let your will be set to sin. How is it that my mind ended up being set to sin? Because I'm trying to figure out how to now do things where I avoid the tribulation. I'm trying to figure out how to put things together where I can avoid suffering or going through something, but I'm also in that not understanding that I'm putting something together that keeps me from going through what I need to go through so that the Most High can be there for me. I take that out of the equation. Read on.
Or to transgress his commandments.
Go ahead.
Do uprightly all thy life long and follow not the ways of unrighteousness. Verse 6, for if thou deal truly in thy doing, truly, thy doings shall prosper, prosperously succeed.
You know what I ask a question on? Because we'll do this. If thou deal truly, you know what a man will say to that? I am doing true. I am doing what's right. I am doing what I believe to be what's right. We've all got caught like that. Believe me, because I'm trying to run from what I'm having to go through. I'm running from what I'm trying to avoid losing something. Because I can tell you, I've told you this before. The reason why I never went, but it was the spirit was about moving to Guatemala and opening the camp down there, and we went down there, and I was supposed to follow. But the whole time I kept saying, man, I ain't trying to lose my family. That really was my whole motivation, just being honest. as long as I'm the kids, I don't want to lose my family, because I had just seen Cobra Khan go through what he went through with his family and what the Most High was taking him through. So my smart, I would be wiser, brother. I'm about to be wiser than my elder. I just ain't going to go down there. I'm going to pour into teaching her and cultivating and everything else, and she's not going anywhere. All that I was doing trying to avoid something, it happened to me anyway. I laugh now because that's in young and no understanding. I really believe that my outcome was going to be different because I was using wisdom. The Most High, like, you really didn't understand what I was doing. That's the thing that men go through. You're going through what you're going through because you're supposed to go through it. Because you'll never see the power of the Most High if you don't allow yourself to go through what you go what you go through. So when you read it, what verse are you at?
Beginning of verse 6, or end of verse 5. Kind of middle of verse 5. Or to transgress his commandments, do uprightly all thy life long, and follow not the ways of unrighteousness.
But you know the problem is, Zach, we don't even realize the path the Most High had you on was the path of uprightness. Because you still in everything, you still got to be upright. I still got to now go through something and still keep the Father on my side. I got to still listen and follow him. It says to follow not the ways of unrighteousness. I'm not supposed to follow the path of something that's not right. But how do you know that you're not on a path that's not right? Most of the time, those paths are something you decided, not the Father. You at one point decided this was the best for you. That's not the path of righteousness. That's the path of unrighteousness, because that was your will, not the path the Father put you on. But because I'm fighting or I don't feel like I'm growing or whatever it may be, I jumped on this path. That's not the path of the Father. And Israel, we're the king of that. I don't agree with what my elder have me doing, so I'm choosing to go down another path. There's a whole lot of camps. Whole lot of camps in Israel, right? Because a whole lot of elders, a whole lot of men decided that this is not the path that they're going to go down, and they're trying to create another path. But the Most High look at it, it's like, this is the path of unrighteousness. Because the path that you're trying to create will never include the Father. Because your path and all the troubles and all the things that you're going through, all the wisdom that you need, it's only going to come down this crooked path, this path that you don't know, a path that you don't know the outcome of. Not something that you created, not something that you're trying to control. If you created it or you control it, that means you already know the outcome, or you think you know the outcome of that path. Because I decided not to go to Guatemala and everything else. I had the game plan set. I already knew what path I was on and what was going to happen to me. Or at least I thought I knew. So there was a lot of loss. There was more loss and more suffering because I chose the path that wasn't chosen by the Father for me. I was already on my path. And if it was meant I was going to go where man told me to go to, there's a reason the Most High had me on that path. Because that was the path that he was going to be there for me. Go ahead, brother.
I got to have you. And I was going to read this one scripture. I'm going to get right back to you. Don't go nowhere.
God.
Read that. You got to be right here. I'm cool.
John 4:34. Jesus said unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work.
You can't. How shall I say unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work.
Wow.
Then in St. John chapter 6 and verse 38, Yahweh said, for I came down from heaven not to do my own will,
the
will of him that sent me. So why did the Most High send Yahweh Shai? To finish the work that the Most High wanted done. Why did God send the apostles out? To finish the work he sent them to do.
Damn.
But a lot of times,
you know,
I want to...
You always imagine, why did the Most High bring this brother in to the truth here? Right? Why did the Most High bring that man into the truth there? If he wanted him somewhere else, then he could have just brought him in there, the other place, right?
God.
But the Most High brought that man in there, it might have been so that he could finish the work that was going on there.
God.
Well, finish the point. I'm sorry. Let me cut the finish the point.
No, not starting up something new.
God.
Not to do, Christ didn't even go do what was more convenient for him, what was more comfortable for him. He had to finish the work his Father assigned him. The apostles had to finish the work Yahweh Shai assigned them. But we get this thing in our minds that I don't have to finish the work that my elders assigned me.
Mm-hmm.
I can do my own thing. That's not following the Spirit.
That's not a spirit of righteousness either. That is what we're reading here.
I got to read one more. I got to read one more. Let me read this one. John chapter 5, verse 30.
John chapter 5, verse 30. If I, this is Yahweh speaking.
It's God. So this is Yahweh Shai speaking. Let's hear what the words of Yahweh Shai. Go ahead.
If I can of my own self do nothing, as I hear, I judge.
So the part I want to get to is this first part. Christ said, of my own self, I can do nothing. As I hear, that's how I judge. And from what the Most High told me to do, that's how I judge. Not on my own, how I feel, what I think, what I put together, but even from the training and everything the Most High put him through. Grant?
And my judgment is just, because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father, which hath sent me.
Wow. But about words.
Brother. Brother, jump down to verse Tobit 4 and 18 real quick.
I might have got that.
I might read that to go over what I was saying.
John Tobit 4 and 18. It reads, ask counsel of all that are wise, and despise not the kind. Ask counsel of all that are wise.
Really?
And despise not any counsel that is profitable.
Read on.
Verse 19, bless the Lord thy power always, and desire of him that thy ways may be directed.
that thy ways may be maybe what?
That thy ways may be directed.
He says, bless the Lord thy power always, and desire of him that thy ways may be directed, and that all thy paths and counsels are profitable. But the reason I'm reading it, because this was supposed to be about my desire was supposed to be that my ways, my directions are directed. Desire and desire of him that my way, my ways may be directed, and that all my paths and counsel may prosper. Read.
For every nation hath not counsel, but the Lord himself giveth all good things, and he humbleth whom he will, as he will. Now therefore, my son, remember my commandments, neither let them be put out of thy mind.
Dude, look, I'm saying it out. We don't want to be directed. And that's the one thing that the Father, I'm reading, that's the one thing that Christ came and did. I received instruction, so I went to carry out the instruction that the Father gave to me. He put me here and instructed me. We are running from being directed because we are doing our will, not the will of the Father. But, you know, I'm looking at this right here because you want to do your will, not the will of the Father. The one thing that you keep doing that we've seen a pattern of is you keep starting over. You're going to keep failing and starting over because the path that you're choosing, that was your choice, not the one that the Father chose for you. I had a brother tell me that about a woman one time, way back. He told me, Mashaba, he says, we argue about this brother. I told him, that's not your rib. She was with another brother. Whatever was going on. He said, how do you know that the Father didn't have her go through all of that for me? And I said, because if she was sent by the Father to you, why wouldn't the Father just directly send her to you? Why make her go through that bed and this bed and that bed and this bed just to get to you? That shit didn't work out. That's the shoes getting burnt on the stove and knives being pulled, everything else. That was that relationship because he believed that this came from the Most High. So all that happens is that man goes through all that hell, starts over just to now go back because that's not the path that was chosen for you.
So he has to go back, start at the ground again.
All over, starting over. Keep starting over. And keep starting over because I'm not realizing that I'm doing my will, not the Father's will. From there, real quick, you all are something out. That was Toby, right?
That was Toby at the end of 19.
Check this out. It should be out there because it goes into the fruits of the Spirit art. But all you're showing me is that from what we're reading, this is all the will of the Father. That's the one thing the Most High is waiting for us to do, to follow his will. For whatever reason, God, we keep operating as if this was our choices. But from day one, whatever the Most High puts you and how the Most High had you there, from day one, the Most High, like, I knew what I was doing. I knew where I put you. I knew what I had you working on. but I was working on a relationship. And you really, we really don't understand that this whole time the Most High is working on a relationship between you and him. If the commandment with Abraham, right, was not the commandment, but the, what was it, the vow or the promise that he would be our power and we'd be his people.
Yep.
So through everything that you go through, when the Most High is there for you, he's showing you that he is keeping the promise. I am your power. I am your savior, and I'm doing it for you because you're my people. But you have to serve me. That means you have to follow me. You are created to do my will, not what you want to do. But we keep starting over as a people out because we're still doing what we think is right rather than doing the Most High's will. You know, I'm getting that. Mishap, I'm looking at all of the things that are about to hit this earth. All the things that's hitting it, from the nuclear attack, that's a threat. People getting countries right next door getting bombed. And we're sitting right in the middle of a war zone. And we're trying to start over? You're sitting right in the middle of a war zone where you should be, that relationship with the Father should be strong because your dollar can't buy you out of this. Your family gonna burn behind your dumbass decision. You following your woman, you're going to follow your woman right to a concentration camp. We right here on the brink of all this shit breaking out. Her rumor, like, she wants to lose. She said, this shit could be any month that this shit done broke out. While I'm sitting here twiddling my thumbs and trying to come up with my own things, or I'm so focused on paying a bill, I am looking, man, this was the time that I needed to strengthen that bond with the Father. I do. Now, Father, what is your will? So that I can do it, so that that bond can be strong between us, so that I can be saved. We watch too much Netflix and not enough news, right? We ain't connected enough. We ain't connected enough where you got brothers that is outside the country watching the news like, man, this shit is about to go. This firecracker is about to pop. You worried about a bill? You trying to rekindle the passion and love in your relationship? You and your woman finna be in a concentration camp. This is bad out here. But the Father's like, this is the arena when you're going through troubles that I save you. But you're trying to run from it, and you're only making your life and your condition worse because you are positioning yourself further and further away from the Father because you don't understand how to get close to him. You don't understand the Most High said, I'm a savior. I got to save you in what you're going through, not you trying to run from what you're going through. That's the arena that I save you in. The Most High saved Christ, brothers, after he went through what he was going through. The Most High was there for him. I find Christ had taken his own hands to change the course of what he was doing. The Most High would never have been there for him then. because that was the path. That was the Father's will. We're not examining ourselves to figure out, damn, I may not like this course of action and what I'm going through, but can I change the fact that this is just the Father's will for me? This is the arena that he chose to save me from. This is my path. And no matter how many hoops I try to jump through and people that don't like, they're not going to be able to change the path. That little boy, one more time. 2 Ezra chapter 8 and verse 26. 2 Ezra 8 and verse 26.
2 Ezra chapter 8, verse 26.
And then now it's done. Give Matthew 26 and verse 36.
Second Ezra chapter 8, verse 26.
Read.
Sorry. Okay. Oh, look not upon the sins of thy people, but on them which serve thee in truth.
Moses said, don't. We want that. Brothers, we want the Father not to look on his wicked world. If you look at it now, the Most High don't want none of Israel. He said, don't look at the wicked world. We ask the Most High to look on us that are trying to be sincere. We're trying to walk that path. We're trying to endure here. That's what we ask the Most High to look at. Don't go, listen. We ask the Most High to turn his eyes or turn his gaze towards us. Whenever we praying, we look at everything that's going on this earth, and the one thing we pray for is, Father, don't forsake us. Father, don't forget us. That's what we're praying for. I don't care about the rest of this shit. The rest of it can burn. And anybody that don't want to be saved, they can burn. My prayer is that the Father doesn't forget about us. Read.
Says, but on them which serve thee in truth.
Go ahead.
Verse 27, regard not the wicked inventions of the heathen.
Read it again.
But regard not the wicked inventions of the heathen.
Shit people that came up with. Ideas they that came up with. Nobody's paying attention to the shit you coming up with. These ideas that they trying to come up with, we ain't paying no attention to none of it. Because half of us think that the virus, the vaccination for the virus was the cure. Half of us don't think that if they do drop a nuke, we got a bunker or something like that that's going to take care of us. Half of us think that I don't put all this money together to get land over here, like that's going to save me. We have come up with every wicked invention or idea, and all we do is we count on the white man. On everything, we think he is going to save us rather than the Father saving us. Because that stopped being our focus. You know? Tell them where you at.
Verse 27. Again, regard not the wicked inventions of the heathen, but the desire of those that keep thy testimonies in afflictions.
Where?
In afflictions.
Hold up. See, I want to make sure that we're clear on that. The Most High looking for the ones that are keeping the testimony, that's keeping the commandments, that's still focusing on living right in affliction. Not trying to create an easier environment. I'm trying to create this environment where it benefits me so I ain't got to go through anything and I'm going to keep the commandments of the Father. The Father said, I want to see you keep the commandments in the affliction that you're going through. Read that again.
Verse 27, regard not the wicked inventions of the heathen, but the desire of those that keep thy testimonies in afflictions.
Read.
Verse 28, think not upon those that have walked feignly before thee.
Read that again.
Think not upon those that have walked feignly before thee.
So we have to look that up. What does he mean they walk? Is it feignly or foreignly?
Feignly.
Feignedly.
Feignedly, meaning like in a false way or a fake way or like.
Look it up.
Not in a true way.
Look it up. Think not upon those that have walked feignly. Feignly. Look it up.
Feignedly.
Feignedly, it says fictitious.
Fictitious.
I don't know. Give us the word we huh?
Disguised.
They walk disguised. What else?
Pretended. Counterfeit. Pretended.
He said, think not upon those that have walked and they've been pretending before thee. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you know a man has been pretending?
Another definition. Another definition I've here says, not really.
Wow.
So it says,
how do you know
not
the
upon
one,
those.
How does the Most High know? John, read.
Think not upon those that have walked not really before you.
Wow. How do we know, how do I become one of those that ain't real before the Most High?
When the official comes, I do my own thing.
I won't go through the afflictions because the affliction is how I proved it to the Father that I was truly there for him. That's the only way that you can prove that you're truly genuine. But you know what the crazy thing is? We really do believe that we here serving men. The Most High has to be different, Mashallah. This can't be how the Most High thinks. Because everything that I've been going through, I've been doing it for the Most High. For the Most High,
really.
You look the part now, Bonabon. You don't grow your beard out. You don't let your hair grow. You know, you got a closet full of fringes, bro. Closet full of fringes. I'm saying that because I'm in my closet with Shabba, and I'm looking at all the years of fringes, all the Passovers with Shabba, all of the head wraps, all of the, everything that I've been doing. And the Father still putting me through things to be able to see at this point, are you still genuine? Are you still really here for me? Until Christ come back, the closer and closer we get to Christ coming back, guess what the Most High is going to still keep proving? If you're really here serving me.
Or not really.
So read that again. Yeah, or are you real or not real? I like that. It's going to be, everything is going to prove that. Are you really here for me or are you not? At what point am I not here for the Father? And I don't care what I tell myself. I can tell myself what I want, and I can really do what I want to do. The Most I'm looking and saying, well, you proved to me that you weren't really here for me. Because when the affliction came, you didn't keep my testimony. You didn't keep doing what you were supposed to do. You looked for out. Read that again, 28.
Verse 28, think not upon those that have walked feignly before thee, thee, but remember them which according to thy will have known thy fear.
Read on.
Let it not be thy will to destroy them which have lived like beasts, but to look upon them that have clearly taught thy law.
Please.
Verse 30. Take
not. No, stop. Deshaba, you got something?
What's the part about the beast?
It says, let it not be thy will to destroy them which have lived like beasts.
What's a beast known for?
Following its instincts and gut feelings.
Your impulses. His
impulses.
Own will. A beast do what the hell he want to do. When he want to do it, how he want to do it. That's what a beast does.
That just stood out because we're going over the beast in the class yesterday, yesterday's blog talk. I got to add this scripture.
Look not on thy, it says, let not thy will, let not, it says, let it not be thy will to destroy them which have lived like beasts, but to look, let it be your will to look upon them that have clearly taught thy law.
What verse are we in?
We are verse 29. The last one was verse 30.
I need to, ooh, ooh.
Read 30 then. You're going to like this one. Read 30.
Verse 30. Take thou no indignation at them which are deemed worse than beasts.
What would
he
make you worse than beasts?
Take thou no wrath, right? Fierce anger.
God.
At them which are deemed worse than beasts. Read.
You don't get mad at a dog for barking. He's wild. He's a dog. But for somebody to be worse than a beast is, they've been trained, but still go back to just doing what they want to do.
They know better. They know better.
They've been
a
trained.
A dog is following an impulse. You know better.
Which goes with Christ saying, but to him that was given much, a much will be required. To him who knew much, he should be with anybody. You know better.
You read it, Michelle. It's like us reading it. We read it, and we still do the complete opposite of the Father. If you're reading it, did I just tell you I was going to beat your ass? Did I tell you I was going to turn on you? Like, you're reading it, and you still go do the complete opposite. And you are expecting the best outcome. You know what I'm looking at? We can only pray for you, man. We can only pray for a person like that.
Yeah.
I'm praying to the Father. He said, take thou no indignation at them. Don't take your anger out on them, Lord, because they worse than beasts. It says, but love them that always put their trust in thy righteousness and glory.
A little bit more.
That's shit, man. Mm-hmm. Read Matthew 26 if we're running out of time. Read Matthew chapter 26 to verse 36.
Matthew chapter 26 verse 36. Then comes Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then said he unto them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful. unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me.
Why was his soul sorrowful? Why was his soul sorrowful? Because he wasn't going to do what he wanted. He now had to go through something that the Most High had planned for him. He had to go through something that the Most High had planned for him, huh?
Because it's uncomfortable.
Something that ain't comfortable.
Discomfort, right? That's
yep.
What I've been thinking about this whole time is the discomfort is like torture almost.
Like, because the one thing, that's what the Most High said, that's where the blessing is. The blessing is in, Christ made to the right hand of the Father because he went through the thing the Most High had him go through that was uncomfortable. Half the time, you know what we do? We keep doing this, brothers, sisters, as men. We keep trying to focus on the thing that makes it comfortable for our family. But the thing that makes it comfortable for our family, we give up our salvation for that. Because we don't understand and we're not teaching our family that the things that we go through for doing the Most High's will, the things that we suffer are where our blessing comes from. That's the environment that the Father sends our blessing in. Christ is an example. He's an example of a man who had, who was going through this, and by going through it, that's where his blessing was. But read on. Read 39.
Verse 39. He went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt.
Read on.
And he cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep and saith unto Peter, what could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak.
And that is the problem with us right there. We have now fallen asleep. We are now looking for comfort. There's a point that we are falling asleep, but we don't watch and pray that we enter not into temptation. We're not sitting here, man, I'm tired of this. So we all done said it, man. You know what? I'm tired of having nothing. I'm tired of going through this. I'm tired of struggling. I'm tired of everybody having this. I don't got nothing. Having to go through every, why is it never easy for me? Body's breaking down, getting old, but we're not looking and saying, damn, you know what the temptation is? That you do give up, that you do find an easier way. You got to watch that you don't enter into that temptation. Either the spirit is willing, but of course the flesh is weak. Every time we only quit because we start feeling things where? In our flesh. I know for some of you didn't have thoughts. You look at your eyes, you're like, man. Man, shit. It might be time for me to hang up my gloves.
Kind.
It might just be time for me to go on and close these books up, man. And I can, my blurry in my eyes, I got this going on. I do not want to hear, well, let somebody read for you. I want to hear that. I want to enjoy my kids while I got some sight. I want to enjoy my grandkids, Michelle. I want to be able to go down. I want to be able to go for a walk on the beach, like, But I've been in a wheelchair before I'm 60 years old. Because my brother broke my back and did something crazy. Always get weak in the flesh. That's where you're supposed to watch. That you don't enter into temptation. Is my flesh pulling me to do something that now takes me out of the arena where the Most High sends my blessings? Because the Father sends the blessing in the affliction. So with that, I mean, I've got more. You know what I'm saying? You got anything, Michelle?
Nothing but the waters. The water for this fact is, it's funny you were saying what you were just saying, because when I was setting this class up earlier today, I was like, see, my eyes is messed up, so by the bottom, I'm going to have this down by itself. I'm going to be in my room, sitting in the dark room. I got to adjust my eyes.
Hey, brother, Ed, you're like, man, come on, man, Albuquerque, doing Amazon. So I've been having to carry covered damn routes. I've been having a mod on the mind all the time. But you know what, man, I felt a twitch in my ass yesterday too, goddamn shit. My back is hurting. I ain't got no energy. Somebody talking about taking some sea moss. I'm like, fuck some sea moss. I need to win the lotto so I ain't got to do this shit no more. Can somebody please buy me a scratch off so I can win the fucking lotto so I can stop doing this shit? It don't work like that, huh? Because the more affliction we going through, that's how we know we're getting closer to the Father saving us out of it. But if you don't believe it, you don't believe it. If this book is a fairy tale to you, then it's a fairy tale. And you can twist the fairy tale any way you want to twist the fairy tale.
Okay.
So with that.
Well, the water in the spirit to the Most High Christ always. But give us the chance to go over these places we're doing together. He's in the midst thereof. So to be able to, I personally, I love going through these classes for the scripture to say, let the righteous smite me. It should be a kindness. Because it's giving me a chance to get more prepared for Christ's return.
Yeah,
it's giving me a chance now to fight the flaws and fight the weaknesses and the subtle spirits that hit me. These be great reminders. I think, and these spirits should be sore. I'm sorry, Mike. Go ahead.
What you saying about what you say?
No, I'm sorry. Shiloh came over, told him the table was for him to eat off of. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt y'all.
Okay.
Cool.
Finish with
that. I'll do that.
No, I listen, bro. Thank you. Because, you know, like I said, this is keep making me get more of the book. And like I said, Masaba, because like I said, the class I've been kind of going over scriptures I've been studying on has been obedience. And that's the one thing we are running from the hardest. I've been working to just put it together. When the Moses said to obey is better than sacrifice, side. We keep thinking that we can outwork obedience, and that's what he's looking at. The Most High is not looking at us being obedient to him. It's like, brother, this is my path. This is what I've been instructed to do, and the Most High is looking for me to be obedient. I don't care how much work we do. He's going to be like, did you obey? I just can't get that out of my head. This truth is easier. And your relationship's even better with the Father when you can be obedient. You don't have to agree. You just have to obey. But we've come up with every justifiable reason not to obey. and we really believe that the sacrifices and the things that we are doing are greater than obedience. We don't get to come in this truth and do what you want to do. If you can find that out, Christ didn't get to do what he wanted to do. But if you find yourself doing what you want to do, the Most High honor nothing you're doing. That's every man. I don't care if you done built and you got 100 men behind you. Obedience and the work that you do does not justify the disobedience. You got to fix that. Because all we're teaching other men to do is now follow me in my disobedience. See, it must be okay. If Bada Bada is disobedient, it must be okay. Because the Most High blessed them. No, he didn't bless. But these are the things I've been kind of studying over so that, I mean, we can understand we are in the last. This is ended, right? This is done. And Esau, the devil, because he got us chasing bigger houses and trying to find new places to party and everything else. People ain't going for righteousness. They moving to look for a bigger place to party. When I could have been getting ready for the Father right where I was. So I'm not going to hold us, man. I know we got to get up, go to work in a few hours, man. But I know Kaz, I just had to talk to him when he's calling me. But I wanted to, you know, at least honor the class, man. It's a Sabbath day. So I want to thank everybody that, and the brothers that did sacrifice to stay up and have us go over your scriptures, man.
To the Most High. All right.
God. With that, we're going to say shalom.
Shalom.
I don't know why that sounded like popcorn.
That was applause.
Yeah, I like that applause. All right, brother. Shalom.
God, shalom.
Shalom.